Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. That content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Rico Bronya's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is six times distilled till it's just right, and naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything, from the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
A drive home edition of the Rico Bronya. Welcome in, everybody. I am leaving the parking lot of Citi Field on what was a beautiful, nice, and easy, stressless Tuesday night as the New York Mets defeat the San Diego Padres by a final score of 8-3. Before we get to the game, before we get to all the good, because there is a lot of good to come out of this victory. I mean, what the hell is up with Francisco Alvarez? Is he a freaking magnet to being drilled? And, you know, maybe I'm being emotional and maybe I'm not thinking through correctly here. But somebody on the San Diego Padres, whether it's Manny Machado, whether it's Fernando Tatis Jr., whether it's, honestly, it could be anybody. Someone's got to wear it. Someone's got to be drilled. And I know that the Padres aren't responsible for every time Francisco Alvarez has been hit, but this one was bad. I mean, it looked awful, especially his reaction, and hopefully it's going to be okay. But it is unbelievable with this poor freaking guy. I mean, he's got broken bones everywhere. We know about the thumb. We know about the pinky. God knows what this is going to turn into, and it really stinks for him. It obviously stinks for the team because as frustrating as Alvarez can be, I think we are all still waiting on the potential of him. And it seems like he gets hurt right as he's starting to show you signs of life. On Sunday, he had a couple of hits, ripped a double. So maybe it's leading somewhere. Maybe it's building up somewhere. And obviously, in this game, he doesn't do much, but he gets drilled at the very end with the Mets having a big lead against a reliever, Bradley Rodriguez, whoever he is. It just sucks for him. And I don't know, man. It feels like the Mets have been drilled so often over the last couple of years that there does need to be a little bit of revenge. And I thought in the ninth inning with Manaea on the mound and protecting a five-run lead, if that was the moment to do it, I wasn't against it. You want to hit Jackson Merrill? I mean, who could stand Jackson Merrill? Remember he had a game-winning hit against the Mets a year ago? He's a good player. May not be their best player, may not be a superstar, but I thought that maybe the ninth inning would have been the appropriate time to get a little bit of revenge. And I know that all of that is kind of weird that we sit here like animals saying, oh, we got to get revenge. I don't think Bradley Rodriguez hit Francisco Alvarez on purpose, but that doesn't matter. It's baseball. You're young, you're inexperienced, and when you come up and drill people, it pisses off the other team, and it pisses me off. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on that because it is a negative, and overall, this was a real positive night at Citi Field. The tag team worked. I don't like the term piggyback. I'm not going to use it. I know that the broadcast used it, or at least I assume the broadcast used it. I was at City tonight. I didn't hear it. I think it is a tag. It's like tag team wrestling. You got two guys equal in value, equal in stamina, both dealing with the same issues of not being able to go deep into games. So you tag team a game. And, you know, before we even get to the offense and what they did against Michael King, which was tremendous, the tag team worked as well as any of us could have imagined. I mean, you get a typical average-ish outing from Clay Holmes. You could argue we never saw the end of it, because if there wasn't a tag team in order, Clay Holmes comes out for the fifth inning and he's facing the bottom of the order, and who knows what happens. I mean, it's very possible Clay Holmes gets three outs, but it's also likely he doesn't. I mean, if we're guessing, you know, it's likely that Clay puts a couple of guys on base, then the top of the order comes up, and Fernando Tatis Jr. faces a reliever, or maybe faces Clay with a couple of guys on base and maybe an out or two, and gets a big hit and completely changes Clay Holmes' pitching line. Because how many times have we seen that this season? We've seen it a million times. So I like the idea, especially with Clay Holmes, of preempting the explosion. By the way, I got like 500 people in front of me right now. I'm looking at all these jerseys. Ahmed Rosario, Pete Alonso. Someone has their own name on their back. Juan Soto. Tom Seaver. There's so many people, and I don't want to hit them because that's a lawsuit. Plus, I'd feel bad. I don't want to hit anybody. I think I've told this story before on some drive homes that my dad once hit somebody and immediately turned to me and said, it was a Yankee fan. And I'm like, but you still hit him. I don't think that matters. But either way, I did not hit anybody, and I am taking my shortcut home that I've been told not to reveal out loud because I shouldn't be giving away my shortcuts leaving Citi Field. I'll just say it's working beautifully. Like the tag team worked beautifully, because we never had to worry. We never had to find out what Clay Holmes was going to do in the fifth inning. And I know the Mets ended up having a big lead, but that wouldn't have mattered. It could have been a 2-2 game, a 3-2 game, a 4-2 game. Clay Holmes gave you the four innings. His pitch count was incredibly low, but we've seen enough of him to know where that fifth inning could have gone. And we saw Sean Manaea respond beautifully to coming out of the bullpen. This is the second time we saw him come out of the bullpen. Remember, it was right before the All-Star break against the Royals, and he pitched great. Unfortunately, he gave up the game-winning hit in the bottom of the ninth inning after the Mets rallied and tied the game in the ninth, the top of the ninth inning. But overall, Manaea was electric that day, so he's already shown you he can do it, and he did a great job. The only thing I was curious about, and I was at this game with Tiki and the rest of the Evan and Tiki crew, and I was sitting right next to Tiki, and as Clay Holmes is getting into trouble in the fourth inning, and there's back-to-back-to-back lefties coming up. I don't have my scorecard in front of me, but I think it was Jackson Merrill who got the hit, or Jackson Merrill was coming up. And I turn to Tiki and I say, I'm not opposed to going to Sean Manaea right now. The only issue is, how does he respond to coming in the middle of the inning? And that part I don't know, and I assume that Carlos Mendoza preferred not to do that, but he was going to be willing to do it, because when Manaea was warming up in that fourth inning, and he was up in that fourth inning, there was no one else warming up with him. And I thought maybe you would have a Soto or a Raley warming up, use one of your relievers there to clean up an inning, and then go to Sean Manaea right after that. But it looked like he would have been willing to go to Manaea to get one of those left-handers out, especially when Holmes worked the count full. Again, I forget who the left-hand hitter was. It may have been Jackson Merrill who came up, who he got out for the last out, ended up striking him out. But I was thinking, even in that moment, you know he's not going past the fourth inning. I've got Manaea ready. I got a bunch of lefties up. They're not pinch hitting for him. Why not? But he stuck with Clay Holmes. He got that last out of the fourth inning. And, you know, I know four innings, two runs is never a start that we should be happy about. But I think in terms of what they're asking for right now from the tag team, it's perfect. Because Sean Manaea is capable of going five innings, and that's all you need to complete the game. And obviously, you don't even need to complete the game. That's the beauty of the tag team. And I think the tag team is a much better idea than the opener, which was the rage of baseball the last couple of years. The opener is almost like you're getting too cute. This is not getting too cute. This is pretty freaking basic. I got starting pitchers who can't go deep into games. So instead of pushing them to get through five or six innings and then basically having to use four or five relievers to complete the game, I'll take two of these guys that can't go deep in a game, I combine them, and boom, I get nine innings. And if I don't get nine innings, I get eight innings. Like, I don't think this is getting too cute. I think it's just basic caveman stuff. And I think the way the Mets are built with some of the arms in this rotation, specifically the two guys they used in this game, Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea, it works perfectly. And I'm encouraged by it. Because think about the rest of the bullpen. They didn't have to pitch tonight. And you didn't get anything super extraordinary from either guy. I mean, Manaea was good. He pitched five innings. I mean, that's not asking that much. So once you get four or five from your starter, you don't need that much from the second guy. And look, Morash said this to me when Manaea was coming in. He's like, boy, this all sounds great on paper, but what if Manaea really struggles? And now you got to go to the bullpen in the fifth or sixth inning. And my answer to that is, what's the difference with just having Clay Holmes start? You're going to the bullpen in the fifth or sixth inning anyway. So it doesn't make that much of a difference, honestly. I think it'll be interesting the next time you see something like this, if it's a closer game, and guys are on base, like how quickly do you pull that guy? Do you keep that guy in longer and give him the chance to work through his issues? Because remember, Manaea and Holmes are now starting pitchers. Sometimes you get off to bad starts and then you settle in. Are you still affording a guy that opportunity when they're coming into the game in the fifth inning? But we didn't have to worry about this tonight because this offense, which has disappeared for a week, literally a full week of doing nothing, a full week of being the LD offense that we've grown to not love, they showed up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Up today. And the first inning, so I basically missed half of the first inning. I have to make a decision when I go to these games. Choice number one is to drive to Citi Field, take the train to work, take the train back to Citi Field. And when I do that, which I do a lot, I'll make first pitch. But it's a lot. It's an effort. I got to leave earlier from home. I'm taking multiple trains. I get motion sickness. So there are days, like today, where I say, you know what? If I miss the first 10 minutes, I prefer not to, obviously. Oh, crap. I got a road closure. So my shortcut may backfire on me. But luckily, there's a sign that says detour. I am now on a 137th Street here in Queens as I look to get on the Whitestone Expressway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So today, I decided to drive. Drive to work, drive to Citi Field. And the negative to that is I'm not making first pitch. I may make it close. I may get there, you know, a couple of batters into the game. But I hit a lot of traffic, made some bad...
On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race. Who's your pick for the crown? You think it'll be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? Who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl? You going Eagles? You going Chiefs? You going someone else? You could also parlay your division winner dark horses. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start playing your futures bets now, because Future Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Traffic decisions, and I got there in the bottom of the first inning. I was leaving my car as the Mets loaded up the bases with nobody out, and I was running. Like, I was not messing around. I was like, man, I gotta try to see what I'm missing. So I see the Vientos 1-2-3 double play, which had a chance to be a killer in this game. I saw it on my phone as I was running up the stairs at Citi Field, getting some good exercise. And so this inning, which started off so promisingly, bases loaded, nobody out, they get a run in on the Brandon Nimmo RBI single. They're up 1-0, which is great against a tough cookie like Michael King. But you have bases loaded, nobody out, you best be scoring more runs. And when Vientos grounded into the double play, we're all thinking, I mean, you have to be thinking, oh my God, this is going to turn into a disaster. And then the Mets are going to do nothing offensively the rest of the day, and we're going to lament the opportunity that was blown in the top of the first inning. And that is why a very underrated aspect of this game was Jeff McNeil's two-run double. Because that, I think, relaxed the crowd, certainly relaxed me. Made the inning a success. Even if nothing happened after that, you would have said, all right, scored three runs, you're up 3-0, you give Clay Holmes a little bit of an early cushion, and you took advantage of Michael King loading up the bases with nobody out. So I thought that was a very big hit, clutch hit by Jeff McNeil, and then I was actually getting to my seat when Brett Beatty was up, so I was able to see him rip one over the right center field fence for a two-run home run, turning a good inning into an extraordinary inning, a big inning. And then, boy, the offense kept punishing poor Michael King, who was only making his second start back off of the injured list. Pete Alonso hit a ball that they said is 437. I don't know, man. That was in Troy Tulowitzki, Mark Reynolds country, for those that remember the bombs that those two guys hit a decade ago at Citi Field. Two of the longest home runs I've ever seen in that ballpark, outside of the home run derby when Yoenis Cespedes put on a show. So they said 437. I could have sworn that was 450. Pete with a very good offensive game, building off of what happened on Sunday. Francisco Lindor hits one out. So very encouraging offensive performance because, and I said this to Tiki, he laughed at me. And I'm like, boy, you don't get it, man. Because I said at 5-0 and 5-1, we need more offense. And he's like, really? And I said, yes, really? Yes, they need more runs. I'm not comfortable with a 5-1 lead or a 5-0 lead. And the Met offense did a pretty good job tacking on. They end up putting up 8. So they didn't explode the rest of the game, but they get the 3 solo home runs to put up 8 on the board. Like I mentioned, the pitching made it stand up. So it was a nice, stress-free kind of game. I don't think I ever faced any kind of real stress in this game. Even when Clay Holmes put a guy on base in the fourth inning, even when he gave up the solo home runs, you know, you're pitching with a lead. The one thing you don't want to do is walk guys, which for the most part he did not do. So great effort by the offense, really good pitching. And you just hope, I'm not going to sit here and be naive to you, you just hope that this is actually the beginning of a real winning streak. What I'm encouraged by is that when the Mets have had their previous long-ass...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Losing streaks, the 7-game streak earlier this year, the 8-game streak they just had. When they broke it, they didn't immediately get hot. Like, if you go back to the losing streak back in June, that started on June 13th, really the whole run of bad baseball the Mets have been in. They won that game on a Saturday against the Phillies. It was the day we had Carlos Mendoza on the Rico from Fanatics Fest. And then they responded the next day and got absolutely hammered on Sunday Night Baseball. So they didn't turn breaking out of the losing streak into anything on both occasions. On both occasions, they would... I think on the first one, they lost 3 more in a row, if memory serves correct. So what I need, and so far so good because they've got 2 in a row, is to turn this horrible losing streak that just ended into a response. You know, remember earlier this season when they had the winning streak out west? They swept San Francisco. They swept Anaheim. They beat the Reds. I think I just described the winning streak completely backwards, but... They beat the Reds on that Sunday at Citi Field to salvage the series. They swept the Angels, and then they went out to San Francisco and swept the Giants. They had a 7-game winning streak. We're all feeling good. They immediately dropped the whole thing right back. Got swept by San Diego. It became an ugly, ugly affair. They need right now, especially to secure this playoff spot and not make us sweat out the last 2 weeks, they need to respond with a winning streak. And certainly the offense starting to click would be nice. And they're in good position. They have an offense that is due to break out of it. They certainly did it in this game. They have a bullpen that's completely refreshed because they didn't have to use any of it because of the tag team effort on Tuesday. They've got the kids all lined up. First it'll be David Peterson. Then we're going to get Jonah Tong. Then we're going to get Brandon Sproat and Nolan McClain. And so with the Nationals coming to town and the Mets owing the Nationals, considering what happened back in late August, let us hope. I can't say it confidently because I am not a confident man right now, and why would I be? But I hope that this is the push that we have been waiting for and that they can take control of this last wild card spot and we can all laugh at Saturday and Friday in the Texas series and chuckle and say, oh, that was rock bottom, wasn't it? Because hopefully it was rock bottom. You know, hopefully there's no more of this. But hell of a victory. I'm driving over the Whitestone Bridge right now. Pete Hoffman's back at the shop where he lives. How you feeling right now, Hoff? You've been very negative during the losing streak. I think we all have. But with these back-to-back wins, with a nice win today against San Diego, are we feeling better?
I mean, there's no way you can't feel better because they won 2 games. They went and attacked Michael King real quick. I mean, you saw Lindor hit a home run. You saw, Beatty hit a home run. You saw, I mean, everyone get a base hit in the first inning. It looked fantastic. Manaea, I know that you said you're not fully back with Manaea, getting back to the rotation or whatever, but, like, I think he looked amazing. I know he gave up that one home run. He didn't get a call at the end of the game where then he gave up a base hit to Merrill, but for the most part, he pitched really, really well and got me excited that I'm like, you know what? If he could be like that and the way he finished the last game, the last 3 innings, I mean, you're talking about 8 innings, 1 run. I'm starting to feel like Sean Manaea can get back to where he was at one point in time. He doesn't throw as hard as some of the other guys. He's topping out like around 92 miles per hour, but the way he delivers the ball, it pops a little bit more, so that's good.
I'm not confident in Sean Manaea. I think that the reason I like what they did in this game, and I would stick with it, is that even though I was encouraged by the end of his last start, you know, because of the little Carlos Mendoza, whatever he did, the pep talk that he did in Philadelphia. So if you remember, I felt positive and I was okay giving him another start. But I think this clearly works. Like this idea, because it was always an idea. You talked about it a lot, Hoff, the idea of tag teaming starting pitchers. We finally saw it in action. I know we saw it right before the All-Star break with these same two guys, but it works. And I think if you believe in Brandon Sproat and Nolan McLean and David Peterson and we're willing to give Jonah Tong another start, by the way, I would tag team him too. Like, I think it should be Tong and Senga at this point. I mean, I know the only reason I say that is because you could split it up and go Tong Manaya and Senga Holmes. I don't even care. But I think those four guys can be used in tag teams. Tong is so young and inexperienced. Senga was running into the same issue of not being able to go deep into games. Manaya, same thing. Holmes, same thing. So it's not a lack of belief in Shaw Manaya, because I did think that offered some encouragement. It's more that this works. Instead of us pushing starting pitchers to an area where they're unlikely to succeed, why not, especially with the extra roster spot late in the year, team them up? Like, it really does make sense, specifically with certain guys. Like, I'm not doing it necessarily with David Peterson. I'm not doing it with Brandon Sproat or Nolan McLean. But I think with Manaya, Holmes, Tong, and Senga, it makes a lot of sense. And I hope this continues. And it's not a knock on either guy, because you're still pitching the 4 or 5 innings that we're asking for, or the 4 or 5 innings you were giving us, except we're asking for a little bit less because you're not required to do as much as if you're the traditional starting pitcher.
Well, think about this. Clay Holmes, what, he pitched 53 pitches?
Yeah.
Sean Manaya pitched a little bit more because he went 5 innings. But I'm like, you know, at that point in time, we would have definitely put Clay Holmes out there for the 5th inning if this was a normal start.
What would have happened, Hoff, if
he
comes out for the 5th inning? What would have happened?
He would have broken down. He would have given up a couple home runs. He would have, you know, we would have been pulling our hair out. It wasn't worth it, you know. And that's why it's like maybe there's a relief to them that, hey, I only got to go 4. I'm good.
Yeah.
And they're effective in those 4 innings.
We've seen – yeah, go ahead.
I do want to give some good news. Francisco Alvarez, according to Carlos Mendoza, they're not going to go for x-rays at all. It's sore, but it's not really the elbow. It's a little bit above it. It's more like the whatever the muscle that is or whatever. He gave it before, and I'm already blanking on it.
Tricep.
Thank you, sir. I was not good in school. But, yes, the tricep area. Yes. So, but it's more there than anything else. So it's not more it's not bone as much. So that's good. They're not even planning on going for x-rays unless he says I'm in some serious pain.
That's a good sign. Hopefully it is just sore and he can get over it. I know Luis Torrens is beginning a rehab assignment, so Luis is on his way back. And the Mets could hopefully be at full strength at catcher. You know, when they move starting pitchers to bullpen roles, sometimes they air it out. They throw a little bit harder because they know they don't have to go 5, 6, 7 innings. I'm not sure you're going to see that because you're still asking the starting pitcher to go 4 or 5 innings in this role. But you're right. I mean, there could be a mental aspect to it where, you know, early in a game, a couple of guys on base, big spot, you could air it out a little bit. You could maybe go a little tick up in velocity because you're not being asked to go deep into games. I think this can work. I think this tag team effort, when we do off-season recos and we get into next year, it's tough to do over the course of 162 games just based on roster spots and having enough guys in your bullpen. But I think with the extra roster spot that you have, with the fact that you've got a lot of candidates to do this, and then come postseason time, assuming the Mets are in the playoffs, that's even easier because you don't need 5 starting pitchers when you're in the postseason. So you're not like weakening or shortening your bullpen by having multiple guys kind of tag team starts. So I think it's a strategy that is probably more difficult to do to execute over the course of 162. But I'll tell you, it makes sense. And it makes sense specifically with the arms they have. So what I would do, and by the way, depending on who you're facing, you could flip-flop Manaya and Holmes. I don't think it makes a damn difference. And I heard David Stearns on Tuesday. He met the media. He does this every few weeks where he'll answer some questions. And he took the tough ones because David knows he did not have a good trade deadline. He could tell me how, well, the system of evaluating is all good. The results suck. I mean, that's just unquestioned. Now, luckily, there's a chance for that to change over the next 2 weeks, and certainly the postseason if the Mets are there. But he is certainly open to the idea that Clay Holmes is going to be more of a traditional reliever. And I think if they're in the wild card series, dare I say the divisional series, it becomes an option. But right now, I want to see more of the tag teams. And I think that Jonah Tong should be a part of it too with Kodai Senga. He's going to make his next start, Jonah. So we'll see. I'm open-minded. Maybe he goes out and delivers six scoreless innings the way Brandon Sproat and Nolan McClain have. But I think that's an option. Or Jonah Tong could just become shorter, and he could go an inning or two. And you could really let it air it out in a short roll out of the bullpen. But no question about it, the tag team effort of Sean Manaea and Clay Holmes was a great success in day one. It just screws Clay Holmes because he couldn't get a win. He couldn't go the required five to get the win, but who cares about that?
Oh, wait a second. You missed a great broadcast. You might have to go home and watch this because all of a sudden Gary and Keith start talking about maybe they should lower the win expectation from five innings to four innings. And maybe they should just, what you always said, maybe you give the win to the best pitcher of that game.
Dude.
You go and choose it.
So this is from my grandfather, who is no longer with us. Old New York Giants baseball fan. And he would always get on the closer that would blow the game and vulture the win. And every time it would happen, he'd say, they gotta let the official score decide who wins the game. Because it would annoy him when a starter would go eight scoreless and then John Franco would blow the game, but then they'd win in the bottom of the ninth inning and Franco would get the win. So I've said this for a while. I'm sure I've said this on a Rico before, but I am very much in favor of the official score deciding who wins games. It'll make for fun debates. I mean, we have enough debates on the Rico between the Rico, I'm the man now star of the series and the net negative. There'll be win debates. But I do think that that's what they should do. Now, I will go home and watch a little bit of the broadcast because I've been told that me and Tiki got some airtime. And I was chowing down on food while I got that airtime. So now I've got to go back and watch it. I ate a pastrami sandwich today, Pete, and it was tremendous.
Well, they thought it was French fries, and they knew that someone was drinking a Dos Equis, and they were a little jealous, I'll be honest.
The Dos Equis was Tiki. I did not have French fries. It was the pastrami sandwich they sell at Citi Field. Sean Morash bought it for me. It was a surprise. I didn't even ask for it. And it was marvelous. It was a wonderful, fun night at the ballpark. And the vibes, while still not amazing, they're starting to turn. And hopefully, the Mets can punch the Padres a couple of more times this week, beat up the Nationals, and we can cruise into a playoff spot and get set for a best-of-three series against the LA Dodgers. That's the goal.
Now, Evan, there are 11 games left to this regular season. Did you know that?
I am aware that there are 11 games left in the season, yes.
All right. So right now we're currently two games ahead of the D-backs, who I think are losing to the Giants, who are 2.5 games behind us. How do you feel these next 11 games are going to go? Do you have a prediction on the record? How many games do the Mets really need to win to clinch that playoff run?
So what scares me is that when you allow this to get close, when you allow Arizona to be within striking distance, the Giants, the Reds, you put yourself in a position where if one of those teams goes out and wins 10 out of 12, you're in a tricky spot. Like, you better win your games. So I think going into these 12 games, I looked at it and said 8 out of 12 would be, I'd feel good about the team. Like, I'd feel good about, wow, they're winning games, they're winning series, and you'd feel better about them going into October. And I would assume with how streaky Cincinnati's been, with the difficulty of the Arizona schedule, that 8 out of 12 would be enough. Now, it may not be. I mean, you never know. But that's the goal. Because honestly, they owe the San Diego Padres. And they took care of it in night one. But they owe them. They got swept. They got embarrassed in San Diego. That was a big part of this season that caused the spiral. The Nationals, they really owe. After losing 2 out of 3 to them back in Washington, D.C. And they're a bad team. They're a team you should beat up on. Chicago's going to have absolutely nothing to play for. And, you know, we don't owe this, well, we do owe this Marlin team, because the Mets lost 3 out of 4 to them at Citi Field right after sweeping Philadelphia and confusing people into thinking this was a divisional race. So they owe a lot of the teams they're facing. It's now 8 out of 12, so I guess that would make it 7 out of 11. But no, I want 8 out of 11 now. I want to see this team play the way we know they're capable of. And look, I think if they play the Dodgers, the Mets are going to be underdogs. We all know that. And I would never say the Mets have nothing to lose, because they do. When you have the payroll that we have, the expectations that we have, yeah, losing in the wild card series is not acceptable. But we are, we'd then be facing the team to beat. And I don't care what their record is. I don't care if they get a first-round bye, which appears unlikely, because obviously if they get a first-round bye, then who cares about the Dodgers? The Mets won't be playing them. But the Dodgers are the most talented team in Major League Baseball. They are the defending, reigning world champions. But I love the idea of getting a crack at them in a best-of-three series. I do, because I don't think the best team necessarily wins best-of-three series. I love the idea of Nolan McClain getting that opportunity as a guy who's a rookie, who may still be a rookie next year, depending on his innings, getting a crack to walk in at Dodger Stadium and face Otani and Betts and Freeman and all those studs and really stun the world in a way. So that's what I'm hopeful for. I got excited even thinking about all this, but I also can't forget the emotions we had 3 days ago when we all thought this team was dead. You thought this team was dead. You said they need to fall out of a playoff spot to then make the playoffs. Do you still feel that way, Pete?
Well, they did.
Did they ever really fall out of a playoff spot?
They were a half a game out until the Giants lost.
Okay, so they had a few hours on Saturday where they were out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think it happened. I think that was the miracle.
I'm going to go back into the archives on that one. I'm not sure if that actually ever happened, but whatever. Either way, David Peterson's on the mound on Wednesday. We'll get Jonah Tong on Thursday afternoon. We'll have a Rico Bronya at some point Thursday night to recap this series and obviously look ahead. But good victory. Mets are on the right track for now. 2-game winning streak. They beat the San Diego Padres. And at least for one more day, we get the smile. Thank you very much for listening, downloading, hanging out with us on a Drive Home edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race. Who's your pick for the crown? You think it'll be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? Who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl? You going Eagles? You going Chiefs? You going someone else? You could also parlay your division winner dark horses. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start playing your futures bets now, because Future Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.